every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Fun living is the life for me.
As we head on around back Arizona, it is 8 o'clock Saturday morning. It is the Outdoor Living Hour, fourth Saturday of the month. If you have our home maintenance calendar, you know today we're talking about rain water harvesting. And not just rainwater, but all water harvesting. And we've got Farmer Greg on the line. And as we get to Farmer Greg joining us remotely from phone this morning, we have a little announcement to make. And we're happy to say the staycations are back. We've got one winter going to Taylor, Arizona next week. It is the 71st. Oh, darn it.
What?
As of last week, the Taylor Rodeo on the 4th of July was still on, but I just went to their website and it got canceled too. Yeah. Gosh darn it.
That virus, I hate it.
We all know about the Prescott Rodeo and the world's oldest rodeo and the Prescott pacing back and forth. The oldest rodeo, the longest continuous rodeo. But, you know, one overlooked one is the Taylor Rodeo that has also a huge crowd, big event for Arizona on the weekend. But gosh darn it. But they're staying at the Heritage Inn, so they're still going to have a great time.
Right there in Taylor and the Heritage Inn. I mean, when you start reading about what this is, it's pretty incredible. I mean, this is a Victorian brick home built in the 1890s. I mean, the town of Snowflake was just settled in the 1878. So, I mean, this home, which is now a bed and breakfast in Taylor, is like one of the very first homes ever built in this part of the entire state. It's a beautiful, beautiful setup. Heritage Inn, Taylor, Arizona. They're actually going to be there next weekend. I wonder if the rodeo's canceled. Does that mean they're not going to shoot the anvil with dynamite? They're not going to have the anvil shoot either, I bet.
I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
Gosh, that's bad when you got to cancel the anvil blast. But the staycation is back, and there's only one place to register for it, and it's at rosieonthehouse.com. And our winners from Queen Creek, Arizona, will be driving up and enjoying a stay at the Heritage Inn in Taylor, Arizona, next weekend. It's going to be a blast. And if you're ever traveling in that part of the state, remember the Heritage Inn as a place you might want to look up and book. You'll be sleeping in a real piece of history. Great things to do in that part of the state. You've got Hamalavi State Park. You've got Painted Desert. You've got Petrified Forest. You've got Casamop Ice over there in Eager and Springerville. You're at the very door of the White Mountains. You go explore Greens Peak and Pole Knoll and Pine Knoll and see the whole area. So Heritage Inn in Taylor, Arizona, proud participants of the Arizona Staycation, be hosting our winners next weekend.
ArizonaStaycation.com, brought to you by Sanderson Ford. Every staycation winner gets to travel to wherever destination they have in one of the Sanderson Ford demo vehicles of your choice. You know, you see the Heritage Inn, and you think, why did they ever change building from that style?
Yeah, right. You know, it's so classic.
So 100 years ago, the design was so much better than what they're building now. Why did they ever change that?
But you like that look better than sticks and stucco?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to do a whole home energy audit on the place you already?
Better than silly sticks and stucco, I'll tell you that. But that's for a different hour here at Rosie on the House. The 8 o'clock hour is our outdoor living hour. For Saturday of the month is Farmer Greg, and we're talking water harvesting. Good morning, Farmer Greg.
Hello. I was just looking up Taylor, Arizona on the Google Maps, and this Heritage Inn seems like a sweet space.
It is.
And the grounds, I bet you could do a nice urban farm there.
There you go, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's you. I want to go there.
A beautiful place.
So, rainwater, gray water, stormwater harvesting. You know, we live in the desert, and I'm often asked, why bother? And that's exactly the point. that we live in the desert. We don't get a lot of rain. And when the rain comes, if you have 1,000 square feet of space you're harvesting rainwater on, you get 600 gallons of water for every inch of rain that we get. And that can be significant. So that's the big reason to really think about why we need to decipher and discover what kind of water is available on our property is because we live in the desert.
And the average rainfall in Arizona is 7 inches per year. So that's 4,200 mm-hmm. gallons of water per 1,000 square feet.
I know. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That adds up.
In September of 2014, we had this massive rain. We got 3 inches in an hour here at the urban farm. And while other people were flooding around the valley, all this water was soaking up. I figured we got 29,000 gallons of water in an hour of rain.
Rain happens. According to this website I'm looking at, it's been 47 days since any fell in Maricopa County. It seems like a lot longer than that, though. But it does happen.
Yeah. And it, as long as it's there, we might as well place it. So really the kinds of water that I want you to think about are what is available in your space. So when I look at my property here, I purposely purchased 30 years ago a property that has flood irrigation. So I have flood irrigation, but we also have my evaporative cooler water. We were just talking before we went on the air about how much we love our evaps, and they kick off a fair amount of water. What are you doing to repurpose that water? And then when the evap coolers go off, the air conditioning comes on, it gets humid outside, and they kick off several gallons of condensate every day. And, you know, what can you do with that water? And then obviously there's city water and repurposing city water in gray water. And gray water is any water that goes down any sink in your house except your kitchen sink and your toilet. And it is legal in the entire state of Arizona to repurpose your gray water. They give you 13 guidelines to follow. And as long as you're following those guidelines, and they're really super simple, as long as you're following those guidelines, you can use that secondary reused gray water in your landscape.
And gray water is the water from our drains, except two drains.
Except the toilet and the kitchen sink.
That's black water.
And they consider that black water. Yeah, definitely the toilet is black water, but kitchen sink water is considered black water as well.
So gray water is the laundry machine, the showers, kitchen, bathroom sinks.
Yeah. And so what I've done here at the urban farm is I've actually replumbed one of my bathrooms so that the water goes either down the drain. I put a Jandy valve. You know that name, Jandy valve?
Sure.
Yeah, it's what they use on swimming pools, and it directs a 2-inch or 1-inch, 2-inch pipe toward one way or toward the other. So I have one valve on there, goes down the drain if you want to put something that you don't want in your yard, and the other setting on that goes out into my yard. So there's all kinds of creative ways to move to do gray water from inside. Obviously, you have to plumb it so that it goes outside, but then there's also the other thing that I've done here is I put an outdoor shower here at the urban farm and an outdoor sink, and those are on my back patio, and that water goes out into the landscape. So it's just another way of repurposing, looking to see how we can reuse that water.
And, an outdoor shower... I actually have an article I pulled out of Builder Magazine talking about the trend of outdoor showers being designed into landscapes.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's actually quite a brilliant idea. One, you don't use as much water when you're outside rinsing off. And second, when you've been outside all day working, the last thing you want to do is drag your filthy self through your house to the shower. Take it all off, rinse it off right there. You can throw your... clothes straight into the laundry because that's usually right by the back door where you're coming in, and then you're entering your home clean.
Yeah, Yeah, well, and you know, when we're working on the farm like you and I do, we can get pretty dirty. So put that water in the landscape, baby.
And then just let it drain naturally into whatever you've planted around it. You've got several places on the talking points you put in here, the term plant the water first, then the landscape around it.
So I am a huge fan of not putting in tanks. You know, when people think water harvesting, the first thing they think of often is let's get a tank in so that we can save that water for later. And that can get really pricey. Tanks are expensive. So what I encourage people to do is plant your water first. Take a look at your landscape. See where you want that water at. Direct that water to that place in the landscape. Plant that water in the landscape. And then plant the landscape around it so that when the rain comes, that rain can go out in the basins around your house to water desert plants. And when you're using the gray water or other kinds of water that's more consistent, you can use higher water use trees in that space. But basically what we're doing is, rather than putting the water in tanks and saving it for later, I want to encourage people to think about, all right, that water's coming onto my property. Where can I put it on my property that the landscape needs it, and then plant around that? It's really quite that simple.